This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So something a little different today. Maybe you noticed that we have a guest with us. And this is Principal Nancy Polson from West Elementary and Vernon School. And we're going to share a little of our sermon time with her. We've identified those schools as being schools that we would like to help as a congregation. And we invited Nancy to come and sort of talk to us a little bit about her school and about the situation there and perhaps how we can help. So Nancy, with that, I just invite you to come forward. And please.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I so appreciate you helping our school. And when I mentioned this to my teachers, they wanted me to be sure and let you know how much they also appreciate the things that you're doing to help our students be successful. As Pastor Rick said, I work at West Elementary and Vernon Elementary. West Elementary has about 400 students. We are one of the smaller schools in the district. Of those 400 students, we have about 47% of them are from low-income families, and so they are on free or reduced lunch. Vernon Elementary is a very, very small school with about 26 students, and their building is in Vernon, about 30 miles south of here, and we partner with Vernon. So things that we do at West, we also include Vernon because they are our sister school. I just want to start off by reading a scripture from Matthew, and it says, "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And we know when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he preached to the multitudes service and kindness. And service is so important, and there's so many ways that we can show service. And I was thinking about the congregation and all the service that you are doing, providing things for our school. And I was thinking of different jobs and occupations, and I couldn't think of one occupation that was not service-oriented. If you think about it, everyone performs some kind of service, whether it's a taxi driver, a police officer, a school teacher, a parent. Think of the service that we provide. And so your second reading today, I was so thrilled to hear that. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above. So I wanted to talk just a little bit about some ways that we can service our students. It doesn't always have to be with supplies, and I see your congregation has very generously provided some supplies for our school, but not everyone can do that because of financial situations. Not everyone is able to provide something in the way of supplies. We also have volunteers. We have a lot of volunteers at our school. Our favorite ones are the grandma and grandpa volunteers who come. We have volunteers who come for an hour a day. Some come an hour a week. And they pull our little students. They work with students from kindergarten to third grade. Take them out in the hall and listen to them read. Because when students can increase their fluency and comprehension, they become better students. And so we love our volunteers. But not everyone can be a volunteer. We have family obligations, work obligations, church obligations, so not everyone is able to be a volunteer. So I wanted to talk about a couple of other acts of service that can help our students. One is by saving little box tops off of packages of General Mills products. Cereal, Ziploc baggies, Betty Crocker products. Have a little a little coupon on them, and we save those, the box tops for education. And you may think that, gosh, I can only donate 5 or 6 box tops. Scott and I live alone. It's just us and the cat. We don't eat a lot of General Mills products, but I save those little coupons and turn them into the school. There's only 10 or 11 each year, but we save 10 or 11, someone else saves 10 or 11, someone else. Pretty soon we have a whole bunch. Last year we turned in our box tops. General Mills sent us a check for over $1,000. That was a huge amount for our little school. Another act of service for our school is shopping at Macy's. Macy's has a rewards program where you can sign up for a perks card. It's free. And you can sign up for a perks card under West Elementary. And every time you shop at Macy's, a portion of what you spend goes into our account, and they present us with a check at the end of the year. Last spring, Macy's presented our school with a check in the amount of $1,543. A huge amount of money. Just a simple service, act of service, the community, parents shopping at Macy's. Another act of service that helps our schools is saving the plastic caps from Coke products, Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite. And we collect those for Vernon Elementary. They are such a small school that all of West Elementary collects those caps for Vernon. Last year they were able to turn in those caps and purchase some much needed PE equipment with their bottle caps. We used our money to help pay for field trips. We know that students need to have some experiences outside of Tooele, and so we'd like to have field trips for each grade every year. And the money that we received from our box tops and Macy's helped provide those field trips. So these are just some little acts of service that go a long way and help our students be successful. I want you to know that I very much appreciate being here today and being able to talk to you and tell you about our schools. And so much we appreciate any little act of kindness, little act of service that you can provide our schools. If you have any questions, any suggestions for our school, anything, please feel free to call me, email me. I have an open door policy. I would love to take you on a tour of our school or Vernon Elementary. Vernon was built in 1860. It's a very old school. They still have their big bell. You have to pull the rope to call the students into the building. Great schools. West Elementary is also the first German dual immersion school in the state of Utah, so we have some exciting things going on at West Elementary. Again, I just want to thank you so much for sponsoring our school and helping our students be successful. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Appreciate that. Now, just because Nancy spoke, that doesn't get you off the hook with me. So let me just add a couple of thoughts to what Nancy has to say. And I, too, was struck by the way the lessons played out today. And it happens more often than you'd think. And it's more than just a coincidence. I'd say that sometimes it's easy to see the hand of God, or if you prefer, the Holy Spirit, at work in the selection of the texts that we use in our worship service. And here's a little maybe inside baseball for some of you who maybe aren't as familiar with how those texts are selected. Most Sundays we get them from a resource we call the Revised Common Lectionary. And following that lectionary allows us to actually read the whole Gospels, all four Gospels, in their entirety in church over a three-year period. Four Gospels, 3 years. And then passages from the Old Testament and other books in the New Testament are selected to complement those Gospel readings. So from a practical standpoint, that means that the readings we use most often in church are pre-selected. And they were pre-selected going all the way back to when the lectionary was first put together in the 80s. So this week, as Providence would have it, our gospel reading is a real straightforward teaching of Jesus. It's about the danger of God's people following human tradition rather than the commandment of God. And in this teaching, Jesus' words are unambiguous. He points out that the scribes and the Pharisees who gather around him are hypocrites. And they're hypocrites because they focus on ritual cleanliness. And Jesus says it's the evil that comes out of us, out of the human heart, that really defile us before God. And it's that evil that comes out of us that spoils God's good creation. And what I love about this message is that it's short and sweet and pithy. And best of all, it's true. And there's not a lot more that needs to be said about it. We get it. And so I'll resist the temptation to try to add something to that. But this is in our second lesson from the book of James that we can turn our attention to now. And it applies especially well to us today. Who but God could have foreseen months ago when the church council identified that we wanted to help a local school, that it would be August 30th when the principal of that school would be here to address us, and that the message from the book of James that we have in our text today is just such a perfect one for us to consider? And you know, it's ironic also that this message comes from a book, a New Testament book that we Lutherans kind of shy away from. In fact, back in the 1500s, Martin Luther himself referred to the book of James, or the Epistle of James, as the Epistle of Straw. He wasn't a fan. He thought James emphasized works and good deeds too much, and God's grace through faith too little. But you may not know that later in life, Luther changed his mind about this. He withdrew his comment about James being the epistle of straw. And in fact, he even allowed there was a direct connection between faith and works. I was surprised. He wrote this. He said, "Faith is a living, restless thing. It cannot be inoperative. We are not saved by works, but if there be no works, there must be something amiss with faith." Don't you love that? If there are no works, there's something wrong with our faith. And it turns out that the book of James has something important to say to us, not just about the way Christians and real followers of Jesus think, but about the way he or she lives. There's a distinct difference between the way the world thinks and acts and the way a Christian thinks and acts. But you know, we shouldn't, not even for a minute, assume that James in any ways puts down this thinking or this rational process that we go through. Did you notice in verse 19 he begins it with saying this? He says, "You must understand this, beloved." And he's about to describe to us the difference between the way real followers of Jesus live and act and the way the world lives. And he calls for us to understand it. He says the world is fast to speak and slow to listen. And James tells us that as Christians, we ought to be just the opposite. We ought to be fast to listen and slow to speak. Jesus turns that way the world lives on its head, and he says, as Christians, our values, our kingdom values, ought to be different from the values of the world. And then he goes on to point out that there's often a kind of squalid coarseness or roughness or just a seamy side to life in the worldly kingdom. And then James encourages us to leave that sordidness behind and humbly, meekly make room in our hearts. And I love the way he puts this. He says, "For the implanted word of God that has the power to save our souls." I love that image of the word of God being planted in our hearts. But it's what comes next that really makes the book of James unique. James urges real followers of Jesus to be doers of the word and not just hearers. That's a big deal. We're to let that implanted word, meekly received, actually change the way we think and act. You know, it's one thing to hear God's word and even to understand it. It's another thing to let that word change you from the inside out, from the world's ways and values to God's ways and values. That's what James means when he says we're to be doers and not just hearers of God's word. You know, and then in case you're like me, in case you have trouble sometimes connecting the dots, James gives us an example right after that as to what this doing looks like. And it also just so happens that this is the last part of that verse from James that connects it to our gospel lesson. And I wonder if you caught this. In verse 27, James says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled." Did you catch that? Undefiled. Just exactly what Jesus was talking about. He says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this." He's going to boil it down for us. "It's to care for widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." Remember in our gospel lesson, Jesus is talking about it's not what goes into us that defiles us, it's the evil that comes out of our hearts. That's where defilement comes. And James is saying that religion that is undefiled before God is the kind of religion that takes care of those people who need it most. And in his day, that was widows and orphans. Doers of God's word are not content just to understand it intellectually. They act on that word. Their lives are changed because of that implanted word of God. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, brings us to today. Principal Nancy Polson has given us an opportunity to help take care of some of those who need help the most. And what I like most about this opportunity is that it gives us multiple options to be doers of God's word. Let me just say one last thing about this doing. You know, for those of you who choose to help by writing a check, we love that. We welcome that. We'll set those funds aside. We'll purchase the items that the school needs, and it'll be great. And if you choose to shop for those items on your own, we'll accumulate them here. We'll make sure that they get to the school. We love that too. But perhaps the best way for us to be doers of God's word is to actually pitch in and to help by regularly being present face to face, eyeball to eyeball, with the kids and help them with their reading. You know, the child that we're helping might not ever fully understand why we're doing that. They might never really fully appreciate that we just value them as human beings enough to want to help. And that's all right. But we know why we choose to help. God knows why we choose to help. It's our way of living into what we could think of today as the gospel according to Nike. Just do it. Don't listen to it. Don't just try to understand it. Do something about it. It's not enough just to hear God's word. Our timely, pre-selected lesson from years ago today encourages us to be doers of the word. And so I'm asking you today to prayerfully consider how God is calling you to participate in this important local outreach. This is a ministry that the church has taken on. And it's not for one or two people. It's a way for everyone who wants to be a doer of God's word to get involved. Thanks be to God.